Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. The future of the Ukiah Valley is currently under scrutiny through an environmental impact report that is paid for and sanctioned by the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors. One of the issues in this EIR is the future of the old Masonite mill site, where they had a chemical plant that created pressed wood doors and other building materials. And the other area is what's called the Lover's Lane neighborhood, which is immediately south of the Ore Springs Road and currently in Vineyard. Our guest today on Radio Curious is Jim Wattenberger, the supervisor who represents the City of Ukiah on the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors. He's visiting with us on Sunday, September 23rd, in the studios of Radio Curious. Jim Wattenberger, welcome to Radio Curious.
Thank you, Barry.
Jim, I understand that as a child and a young man, you grew up and lived here in Ukiah.
Yep, I moved here about 2 years old, and I've lived here all my life with the exception of about 3 years in the late 70s, and moved back here after that.
You were telling me recently that as a young man, as a child, you were 8 or 9, I think you said, that you were involved in the planting of the trees along Perkins Street just east of the freeway.
That's correct. East of Oak Manor Drive, both sides of the road continuing east, is now in pairs. About 1960-61, my father went to work for Alec Thomas, and we converted all those from wild oats and planted oats to pear orchards.
Are those some of the trees that were recently cut down?
No, these are continuing to be in really good production. These are trees that lead to the Russian River east of downtown Ukiah, not out towards the fairgrounds.
So having chosen to return to Ukiah to raise your family, make your life, and I don't know, we'll be finding out soon. I'll be asking you how long you plan to stay here. Why did you choose to come back?
Well, this is naturally my childhood home. I have large numbers of family members still living here. And this is where I always considered my home base. And so no matter where I worked for in my previous career for the California Department of Forestry, I always considered this home and the place of return to.
What kind of future would you like to see for those of us who have chosen to live in the Ukiah Valley?
Well, I'd like to see back to the late 80s, where we had a very well-balanced community. We had jobs, we had housing, we had industry, and we had culture and education. And during those times when I was on the city council, Ukiah was voted, I believe, the sixth best small town in the United States because of all those different factors. That has gotten out of balance, and we have in some ways become a bedroom community for places other than the valley where the jobs are. We've lost our industry base. Our education continues to be very good. Our culture continues to be very good. But we're facing this housing jobs-based market situation where in the early 80s, mid-80s, you used to see one or two cars at 6 o'clock in the morning headed south for jobs elsewhere. Now you go out onto the freeway at those times in the morning, and it's a constant stream coming in from the north and the east and passing right through the valley and headed south.
On August 21st at the supervisors' meeting here in Ukiah, there was a 3-2 vote. You were a member of the group of three that voted to proceed with an environmental impact report for the development of the Masonite chemical plant and Lover's Lane. And I have a question. Going back to your campaign when you successfully ran for Board of Supervisors, you had a piece that I'm reading from now that says, Jim Wattenberger will fight to keep our growth and development to a minimum in Mendocino County, protecting our beautiful agriculture and open space lands, as well as preserving the special quality of life we all enjoy, continues to be a top priority for Jim. Serving as your representative on the Board of Supervisors, Jim will work hard to ensure our hillsides are protected and our community is an enjoyable one for many years to come. How does that fit in with your vote to proceed with the project at the Masonite Chemical Plant and Lover's Lane?
Well, I see that as a continuing statement of mine. Presently, and up till this point, we've seen no development of any kind in the valley at all.
Well, beginning when? At what point in time?
Well, for the last 4 or 5 years, we haven't seen real big development of any kind. We've seen a small industrial park go in out on North State Street, which is made up actually of a large number. I don't know if it's a majority, but it's a large number of businesses that moved out of the city of Ukiah into that county business park. So there's smaller industries, value-based jobs, very good base for taxes and jobs and industry. So other than that, there has not really been much development in the valley at all. So I haven't broken that promise at all. The promise is to evaluate and to keep this place a small personable town that I've always seen it. And up until this point, I haven't broken that promise. The vote on the EIR, which is required for the UVAP anyway, is an effort on my part, my vote being my voice, to get the information needed to develop the correct zoning for those areas. And the information I'm looking for is for water, circulation, sewer, all the basic necessities that are the factual basis for me to make a vote, not an emotional, not a political, but a factual-based vote.
Well, you've been around for a long time. You were on the city council, was for 8 years?
Yep, a little over 8 years.
Up until about
96.
Yeah, 10, yep. 11 years ago.
Yep.
So during that time, is it a fair presumption on my part that you were aware of the water problems and the sewer problems and the traffic problems that exist in the Ukiah Valley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, when I was on the city council, I was a founding member of the Valleywide Task Force that was combined of all the water districts and all the decision makers clear back in the mid to late 80s that called for various changes to be made, consolidations, water storage improvements, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, when I was on the city council, I questioned the city staff of why we were not setting aside $1, $2 a month on the monthly bills towards a capital improvement fund. And I, along with the entire rest of the council, was informed that, well, the sewer plant's doing just fine. We don't need a new sewer plant at this point. We don't want to be collecting excess money that we don't need at this point. So even though I called the question on it, city staff deferred that we really didn't need to be proceeding towards a new sewer plant.
Well, in 1990, an environmental assessment and environmental constraints analysis was prepared. And 4 years later, Leonard Charles and Associates, who is now the person who is preparing the environmental impact report for the county.
That's correct.
Prepared an EIR, an environmental impact report, on the Lover's Lane area. Have you reviewed those documents?
Not lately, no.
Well, taking them into account, my question, and help me understand, Jim, mm-hmm. is why do we need another one based on what you just told us about your understanding of the impacts from the time you've been here and from this work that was done?
Well, first of all, the EIR needs to be a part of the Ukiah Valley Area Plan, and that has to evaluate all the latest information. It takes into account previous information. It would just defy common sense if you didn't take in the previous information. So I'm sure Leonard Charles is doing that, but EIRs become stale. They become out of date. That EIR was done by Leonard Charles, I believe, for a previous project that was proposed out in that area.
On the Lover's Lane area.
On the Lover's Lane area. And I believe at the time there were two biggest hurdles were water and circulation. And those are still the two biggest hurdles today.
One of the issues on circulation on a map that I've seen in relationship to the Masonite plant, changing from industrial to commercial, would put five traffic lights between Empire Avenue and North State Street, just south of Rayleigh's, to about 3/8 of a mile north at Ore Springs Road. Right now there's one traffic light just south of Rayleigh's at Empire and State Street. Is that your understanding?
That's the design that I saw the last time, and I believe that's been almost a year ago I saw that.
That would be quite an impact.
Oh, it'd be a tremendous impact. You know, when you add any type of development, either residential or commercial or industrial, you're going to be increasing the traffic. How you manage that, I certainly, you know, I'm not a traffic engineer. I don't know how to do that. But it's certainly an impact, yes.
The city of Ukiah, in the elections of November of 2006, elected three candidates who were all opposed to growth in the Ukiah Valley area. And then the city, in anticipation of the Ukiah Valley area plan discussions before the Board of Supervisors, voted 5-0 to not proceed or further investigate the Masonite project or the Lover's Lane project. How come you decided to vote against the wishes of the city that are the elected representatives of the area that you also represent?
Well, it's an interesting concept. You know, you have to examine, I believe, their background information on their vote. Now, by saying they don't want to have development in the valley, one could say they're also asking for that development to take place in the city.
I think that is what they were saying. And what I've also been given to understand is of the 700,000 square feet proposed development at the Masonite site, there's plenty of area for development like that within the city of Ukiah. Infill is the term, I think.
That's correct. So that's been mentioned many times. But there's other things that I don't see the city of Ukiah doing to back that up.
What should they do? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, one of them would be to increase the height allowability within the areas that are acceptable within the city limits to allow for infill up, not only just infill strictly on raw land.
Let's stay with the height limits for a second. How high do you think buildings should be in the city or in the Ukiah Valley?
Well, honestly, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know how high they should be. But we should not be looking anymore, Barry, at just single dimension, you know, single story or flat ground. I've said for years and years and years, the city parking lots should be multidimensional to take in maybe retail on the bottom and two or three layers of parking on top. Parking structures today are not the parking structures designed in the 1950s. They can be very attractive buildings. Right now we have almost all parking lots within the city are single dimensional. There is prohibitions within the flight path of the airport. So these, you know, multi-story available lots would have to be outside of those zones, pretty much down the main street of city of Ukiah. The other thing that I find curious with the city council is they passed a form-based zoning code which precludes or prohibits any company locating within a core of the city that I believe has five or more stores or outlets. So when they say they don't want development out in the county area in the valley, we want it to take place in the city, well, you're automatically precluding any businesses that are five units or greater. So I find that as a contradiction. So even their vote, even though it's 5-0, I find strange, I guess the best way to put it.
In this edition of Radio Curious, we're visiting with Jim Wattenberger, who represents the city of Ukiah on the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors, and we're talking about the decision made August 21st, 2007, by the Board of Supervisors to proceed with an environmental impact report on the Masonite site that would call for the development of 700,000 square feet of shopping area, 26 new restaurants, and 3,800 parking places, and the development would include 5 traffic lights between Raley's at North State Street and Or Springs Road on North State Street, about 3/8 of a mile north. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Jim, in the concept of elected representatives from an area, you tell us that you find what the city has asked for is strange, to use your word, yet a unanimous vote from any elected body is unusual, particularly in our community. Notwithstanding that, you have chosen to go against the vote of the city council. Are you doing it because you interpret it to be strange, or are there reasons beyond that?
Well, I think I've got reasons much beyond that. For the last 3 years, the state of California has ordered all special districts in the state of California to do what is called a municipal service review. Those were due, I believe, 2 years ago. They were not completed. I believe maybe 3 special districts within the 66 in Mendocino County have submitted an MSR, or Municipal Service Review. These are required by the state of California for all districts, from lighting, cemetery districts, to fire districts, water districts, sewer districts, etc.
Including the Board of Supervisors, the county planning department managed by the Board of Supervisors.
Well, only special districts, not boards.
Not general.
Or any.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Does that include the city of Ukiah?
It does in their water delivery and their sewer systems,
okay.
Yes. Having only 3 of 66 completed, there is a total lack of information out there for decision makers, either city councils or the special district board of directors or the board of supervisors, to be making good factual-based decisions. So without water information, without sewer information, lighting districts, etc., it's very difficult to come down to a fact-based decision.
Do you
and
think?
I have voted for the EIR in a way to provide that information de facto without the districts coming forward and doing what they're legally bound to do. The next best thing I could do to come up with the facts for the decision that will ultimately be made, which hasn't been made yet, to accept a zoning change, that's the information that will be fed into the EIR.
Isn't the obligation to provide this information that of the special districts and not the supervisors? And by the supervisors paying for the EIR, they're underwriting the job of the special districts?
That could certainly be an argument, certainly in court.
Well, how about to the supervisor who voted for it, who represents the city, you?
Well, there is no teeth in the law that is forcing the special districts to comply to provide this information. The only teeth provided is through the court system by, say, a project comes forward in an area where water is in dispute.
Like the Masonite project or the Lover's Lane
project. Or the Lover's Lane project.
Okay, well, isn't the EIR that was being paid for by the county just limited to those two sites? It's not the entire EIR for the Ukiah Valley.
It is the EIR for the entire Ukiah Valley area plan, specifically targeting the 9 areas that have been previously identified. And the EIR, in a way, is being paid for by the county, but the money has been derived through past developments, with a fee attached for the general plan update.
That's the update. That's not for specific work on the nine possible areas within the Ukiah Valley Area Plan, right?
No, that's not correct.
Tell me.
Those are areas of the Ukiah Valley Area Plan that feed into the general plan update. So the EIR for those areas and the Ukiah Valley Area Plan feeding into the general plan are paid for by this general fund update fund, or general plan update fund, excuse me.
Which could be used for the full county general plan update as well.
Yes.
Or the Little Lake Valley or the coastal.
And it is.
Okay. But
there are sufficient funds to be doing the EIRs required for all the county to do the general plan.
What amount of money is that?
Gotta admit, I don't have that in my memory bank right now, Barry.
What is the amount of money that the county is paying for the EIR currently? The one that Leonard Charles and company has agreed to do.
Another question you caught me off guard. It is in the several hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Okay. Marvin Trotter is the public health officer from Mendocino County, and he has asked the State Department of Toxic Substances Control to review the demolition project that's currently going on at Masonite. Do you support the state doing that, investigating the demolition so that they're to be sure that if there are toxic substances released into the air that we breathe here in the Ukiah Valley, that would be stopped, or that if there are not, that we know that it's safe?
Oh, I most heartily support that. The Air Pollution Control District has had testing equipment in place since day one of the deconstruction. They have invited Cal EPA out there to observe what they're testing and how they're testing and what the results are. I support Dr. Trotter's need for that. That's his job.
Do you support his request to the Department of Toxic Substance Control?
Yes, because I've lived my entire life in this valley. I'm going to intend to stay here for quite a period of time. I want to know what's in that ground. As we all know, that plant's been there for over 50 years, way before any type of environmental controls took place. And so I don't believe anything toxic has been done in the recent decade or two decades, but who knows before then. And now is a good time for this testing to take place. I wonder why Dr. Trotter chose this time and not earlier, when the demolition permit was being requested before the work actually started. That's a question I have that I haven't gotten an answer back to.
Well, perhaps better late than never.
Oh, absolutely.
I still have many, many questions to ask, and we're approaching near the close of our program, so we'll continue, and perhaps you could come back again.
Sure.
But I have another question relating to you responding to my questions.
Mm-hmm.
Many people have suggested questions that I've asked, some of which I've asked, many are my own, and many people have said, would Jim Wattenberger be willing to attend a town hall meeting, say at the Saturday afternoon club, where the public is invited and you respond to questions?
Actually, I'm planning a town hall meeting the middle of October. I'm actually looking at the Veterans Hall in downtown Ukiah to do this, and I'll have detailed results of my development of that town hall meeting sometime this week.
Good.
So
well,
I've already started down this pathway, Barry.
There's a group called Fair and Powerful Communications, which has been advertising in the Ukiah paper and in the Santa Rosa paper about town meetings, wanting people's input. They're working for DDR, that's Diversified Developers Realty, who own the Masonite site. Do you know anything about them?
No, I've read the ad in the paper, and that's all I know of them. I don't know where they come from, who they are, what the makeup is, anything like that.
Let's talk about annexation. Should the city of Ukiah annex any area outside the current boundaries, and if so, how much?
Well, I've been talking with the city of Ukiah now for over 2 years, especially on the north side of the city limits. The Brush Street Triangle, all the way up to the curvature of Highway 101 where it intersects with North State Street, and say Empire Drive or KUKI Drive, I think ought to be inside the city limits. When you drive north of the fairgrounds, half of the fairgrounds is in the city limits, half is in the county. The businesses on North State Street there, one will be in the city, one will be out. One will be in the city, one will be out. It's a very checkerboard process. If a car accident takes place there, oftentimes the 911 dispatcher passes the call back and forth to the city and the county because they don't know by actual location of the accident what address it is to correspond to city limits or not. Just common sense says that needs to all be cleaned up there. I'm talking about the Raley's Shopping Center possibly coming into the city limits. I think it makes sense.
Many elected politicians consult with their wisest advisors. I know that I know the Brown Act laws in California. That means you can really only chat and consult with one other member of the Board of Supervisors, because otherwise there would be three of you on the same issue.
Correct.
I've seen you spend a lot of time with Mike Delbar.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the other people who you consult with who are not on the board?
Well, there's various family members. Certainly my wife is a big key advisor of mine. I've been married 33 years. I love her and consider her advice very vital to my person. Others are members of my election committee that I've talked to in the past.
Who are they?
My campaign manager was Phil Ashiku. I've had Ed Berry as an advisor. Jane Kesey, retired teacher here in town. Just numerous folks.
Are you planning on running for re-election in 2008 for the supervisor that represents the city of Ukiah?
Yes, I am. And that would be my last term. I promised 2 terms maximum. I believe not only are town hall meetings good for exchange information, but I also believe that stale elected officials are not good for the populace of town. And so I've always had a self-imposed 2-term limit.
Well, Jim Wattenberger, supervisor from representing the city of Ukiah on the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors, thanks for being with us on Radio Curious. And before we close, can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately?
It's been several months since I've had an opportunity to read a good book other than studying the issues before the county. But the last book I read with great enjoyment was Undaunted Courage, of the Lewis and Clark expedition westward, and it's quite a lengthy book, and quite enjoyed that.
Jim Wattenberger, thank you for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thanks, Barry.
Jim Wattenberger is a member of the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors, whose district encompasses the city of Ukiah. The book that he recommends is Undaunted Courage, about the Lewis and Clark expedition, written by Stephen E. Ambrose. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. They're also available in CD format for $10 each. At Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org, and the phone is 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us.